Almighty God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the work of all three in our salvation. Jesus, you said no man can come to me unless he be drawn by the Father. You said no man can come to the Father but by me. And then it says no man can declare you are Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So it is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three involved in our salvation. And we thank you so much for that. It is the greatest gift that anyone has ever given. Almighty God says in Psalm 49 that the price that anyone could ever pay could never be enough to avoid hell. And God, the price that all together could pay outside of Jesus could never be enough. But the Holy One paid the price for us, and we rejoice in that salvation. You have good things in store for your people, and we want to experience those good things, but we also want to bring along with us the world. Not the world system. That's something different, but people. Oh, we have a love for people. When we got born again, Almighty God, it says that you took out of us a heart of stone and gave us a heart of flesh, or you gave us a soft heart. You gave us a new nature. You gave us a new spirit, and then you put your spirit within us. Oh, we became new, and the very nature and the essence of God came into us. You said in John chapter 20, Jesus, you breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost," and instantly they were made new creatures, and the life of God came into them. And that very same thing happened to us. And when that happened, oh, the very nature of God came in. And we are not who we were, and our very nature is different. And we have learned and are learning to walk in that new nature, to walk in that new spirit, to walk with you, to walk out that life that you have for us. And part of that life is the love of God that abounds in us. It is the compassion and the mercy of God. And we love people, and we desire to see them saved. And so tonight, Almighty God, help us to grow up into Him, which is the head, even Christ. Help us to step over into that will of God more and more. It's not that we're failing, but we want more of you, and we want to step into that plan more and more. And as we do, God, we will win the lost like never before. We will bring them in like never before. We will see them changed like never before. We will see them baptized in the Holy Ghost. We will see them water baptized and making that commitment that says, "I am His and He is mine." We will see people set free from demonic oppression and even possession. We will see people set free from sickness and disease. We will see people set free from all kinds of things. And God, that is our heart's desire. And oh, how we love you. And we desire to walk with you and to see the goodness of God manifest in the lives of others besides just ourselves. God, we do not have the mentality of us four and no more. But we have the mentality, what we have, we want them to know. So God, oh, you said, making wise and sacred use of every moment and opportunity. You called that redeeming the time. And God, I pray that you would enlighten the eyes of these people, myself included, to the opportunities that lie before us to share the gospel, to the opportunities that lie before us to minister. God, it's not always about even speaking. Sometimes it's about doing. Sometimes it's about the embrace. Sometimes it's about the expression of God through us. And God, enlighten our eyes to those opportunities that lie before us so that we can make the most of every moment and opportunity, so that we will not miss it. We won't back off. We won't walk in fear, but we will walk forth in the boldness of knowing you and of knowing your plan. So we thank you, Father. And as tonight we get into the Word, and as tonight we get into your presence more and more, take us. further. Take us higher. Take us deeper into your presence and your plan. In the name of Jesus, we pray all of this. Amen. Amen. There are so many things that are going on in the world that can bring fear even to the body of Christ. If you really look and understand some of the things that are going on in the Middle East, in Asia, with Russia and China, and it can be something that causes people to fear. But we, the body of Christ, have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. We have a future that is amazing. And we need to quit being afraid of some of the things that we've been afraid of. You know, when we look at the signs that are taking place and the things that are being set up, Joe Morse does such an incredible job of laying out these things for us and showing us the lateness of the hour. But the lateness of the hour does not bring fear to the body of Christ. The lateness of the hour should bring about an understanding of the time, and it should bring about an excitement of the season. You know, when it gets close to Christmas, there tends to be an excitement by children that something is going to come into their life. And we need to understand that there's something that's coming into our life, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely amazing what God is going to do. And I'm going to turn over here to 1 Thessalonians, and then we'll move into some other things, but the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the last verse of this chapter, verse 18, says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another with these words. What he is talking about is the coming of the Lord in the clouds. It's what we call the rapture. It's what we call the rapture. We can back up, and we'll look here, and we'll begin in verse 15. "This I say unto you by the word of the Lord." Now, there are times when Paul says, now, this is me speaking to you. I believe that I have wisdom from God. But there's other times where he says, "This I say unto you by the word of the Lord." And that's what he's saying here. We think of it this way: "Thus saith the Lord." "Thus saith the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." That word "prevent" is better translated as "to precede." We will not precede those which have fallen asleep. What's he talking about? He's talking about those that have died in Christ. He says, "We will not precede those which have fallen asleep," which have died. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." He's coming back with a shout. "With the voice," again, "for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel," with the voice of the archangel, "and the trump of God," or the trumpet of God. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain," that's us, I believe we are the resurrection, we are the rapture generation. I believe that this is talking about us. I believe that it is so near, I can almost see it. It is so near, I can almost hear it. It is so near, I can almost smell him coming. And he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." This is not his second coming. These are two separate events. The second coming is mentioned in Revelation chapter, 19. It's also mentioned in the book of Zechariah. It's mentioned in other places. And it is where he will literally set foot on the earth again. But then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. With who? With those who have died and they're coming out of their graves. Now, there were some things that happened when Jesus died and then when he came out of the grave. When he came out of the grave, the power that was released into the earth brought some people back from the dead. And they went into Jerusalem and wandered around. We don't know who they were. We don't know any of that stuff. It just tells us that in the book of Matthew. It was a precursor. It kind of gave us some revelation that the graves were opened and they came out. Not that they went up in the sky, but oh, those graves are gonna open. And, oh my, we are going to go up immediately preceding them. Now, exactly what that's going to be like, I can't tell you, but I know pretty much what it's going to be like because you can see what it says in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. After Jesus has ascended, and it says the clouds received him, it says that there were these men in white, their angels standing there, and they say, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which was taken from you shall return in like manner." So, it's going to be very similar. He just ascended and went up. That would have been quite a sight to see. But he is going to come down. And he is going to then have the trumpet blown. And he is going to say something. And there is going to be the voice of the archangel and his voice and the trumpet of God. And we will go up with him. Oh man, I am so looking forward to that. It is going to be an event like nothing that this planet has ever seen. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, I love that last part. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The intimacy of being with him, even because there will be work that we will do in the future. You say, there's going to be work in heaven? I thought I was just going to be laying back and somebody was going to be feeding me with grapes and fanning me. No, there is work that's going to be done. But there will never be a separation from him again. It doesn't mean that we'll always be in the, you know, in heaven, in the heavenly Jerusalem. But wherever we go, there is that connection that is unbroken. There will be this unity that Jesus has with him, that we already have with him, but we just don't fully understand that, and we're not walking in the fullness of it, but we will. And we will be about the Father's business all the time, and there will be no brokenness in the relationship. And man, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So it should be a comfort to us that we're almost there. That we're almost there. That's for us. He's encouraged us with this. You know, we could go into 2 Thessalonians and we could look and there's things in there. It actually tells us about the Antichrist. And it tells us that he can't even fully manifest until we're out of here. Now that messes with people because they don't understand the authority that the church has. When Jesus came the first time, he was God the Son, but he walked as the Son of Man. He was a man anointed of God. And everything he did on the earth was not done as the Son, God the Son, but it was done as the Son of Man. He was anointed of the Holy Spirit, and everything he did was under the authority of heaven. He had to hear and he had to obey. Well, that was the way that he did then. And when he ascended, He said, now, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. You go in the earth, you act on my behalf. And that authority was transferred to us to act on his behalf. It doesn't mean that we go about doing anything and everything we want. That's not authority. The authority is coming under the authority of the Father. And when the Holy Spirit speaks the will of God, we hook up with that and we obey that fully. That is exactly what Jesus did. And when we do that, the authority that he has given to us, we exercise, and the power of heaven begins to manifest in the earth. Because he has given to us that authority, until we're out of here, the devil and his puppet, the Antichrist, can't fully manifest until we're out of here. That's an amazing thing. That's the 2 Corinthians, or rather 2 Thessalonians. It actually tells us that. But what I want to talk about just for a few minutes, and we're not going to be real long, I want to go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll go over to Revelation chapter 12 after that. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 8, I believe. Let me get there with you. No, it's not verse 8. It's verse 18 is where I want to be. Back up to verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And he's going to tell us some of the things that are the will of the Lord here. And he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, the way that that is written in the original Greek, it actually puts it this way, be being filled. Be always being filled. It is a constant process of being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of God. He says, be being filled. Be being filled. Be being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20 is one that can be used as a tool to twist the Word of God. It says giving thanks always for all things. That word for is really better translated above and beyond all things. So he doesn't say when you're in the midst of the devil bringing something at you, when you're in the midst of difficult times, he doesn't say give God thanks for that, because that's not what he's saying. He says give God thanks that he's taking you above and beyond that. He's taking you above and beyond. Give him thanks above and beyond the circumstance, above and beyond the situation, because he's taking you above and beyond. He says giving thanks always above and beyond everything unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to look at there is in verse 18, and be being filled, be being filled, be being filled with the Spirit. You need to constantly be being filled. This is something that you can do. You pray in the Holy Ghost, you can do that. You get into the Word of God, you do that. You listen to the voice of God, however He chooses to speak to you, and you get a hold of that. You hook up with Him. You agree with Him. Be constantly being filled. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, I believe it is. And he says, and he's talking to the body of Christ, basically, be not slothful in business, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, when he says be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, when he talks about being fervent, it really has to do with being, looking at it from the natural perspective, it has to do with boiling, like boiling water. Water that is boiling and overflowing because it is boiling. And that's what he's saying here. It's translated as zeal in different places. But it's more than just a zeal, because you can have zeal. But what he's saying is be boiling over with a fervency and a passion in the Spirit and with the Spirit. You could put it this way: maintain the glow and maintain the flow. We talk a lot about the flow of the Spirit in this church. And he says, maintain that glow. Be ever on fire, white hot for God, to the point where you are boiling over in spirit and with the Holy Spirit. Maintain that glow and maintain your flow with the Holy Ghost. In this season, we must do that. We cannot get to the point where we are not maintaining that. Maintain the glow. Now, I want you to go over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter, let's see, where is it? 60 or 61? 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And he says here, arise, shine. Maintain the glow. Arise, shine. Maintain the glow. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's Isaiah 60 and verse 1. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. The Lord shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. Maintain the glow and maintain the flow of the Spirit in your life. Do not get to a point where you're running dry. I've been there. Don't get to a point where you have so much going on that you don't maintain your walk with the Lord. You've got to be in the Word feeding. You've got to be in the Word watering your spirit. You've got to be in prayer, being alone with Him, drawing on Him, delighting in Him. Not just going to Him for what you need, but delighting in Him and being pliable and moldable and bendable unto the will of God, and maintaining your entire life with Him. You cannot get outside of that. Why? Again, he says here in Isaiah 60 and verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. You realize we see that now. Gross darkness shall cover the people. But then the latter part of that verse in Isaiah 60 verse 2, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. That is the glow, and that is the flow. His glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles, the non-covenant people, the people that are not in covenant with God, would be the lost. And the Gentiles shall see your light. Maintain the glow! And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. I believe it's the word rising there that can be translated as flowing. I've got a different Bible than I have so many notes in some of my old Bibles. I actually got one of them out earlier today, and when I get it out, there are pages that just fall out of them. So I can't really use them when I'm preaching, because if I'm walking around with them, I got pages falling out all over the place. But I have so many notes that I don't have in my newer Bibles. But I believe it's that word, thy rising, it can actually be thy flowing. So, and then let's go on in verse 4. Lift up your eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. All they gather themselves together. They come to you. Your son, you're going to find out that as you walk this out and you maintain the glow and you work with the Holy Spirit with the flow and you're doing what God wants you to do, people are going to be drawn to you, and it's really to the presence of God in and on you. When we maintain that flow, people will be drawn to you. He says, lift up your eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to you. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't go to them. We have no excuse for not going. We have the great, great, great word, and it is a big word in the Bible, and it is a two-letter word, go. We have that. He says, go ye therefore into all the world. So we have no excuse for not going. But here he says, I'm going to go even beyond your going. As you go, as you maintain the flow, as you maintain that glow, people are going to see, and I'm going to draw them to me through you. Now that's extremely biblical. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it actually talks about that. He talks about the aroma of God. And to one it'll be the aroma of life unto life, the other it's the aroma of death unto death. God will draw people to Him through you. Lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to you, your sons, and your sons come from far, and shall come from far, and your daughters shall nurse at your side. And then in the next verse, in verse 5, then you shall see and flow together. You shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you. Now that word forces, I have a little note in my Bible. This is not a handwritten note. This is a note that came with this Bible. And it actually says wealth. There is going to be a transfer into the hands of the righteous. The transfer of wealth. But we need to maintain the glow and maintain that flow of the Holy Spirit. When we do, we'll be at the right place at the right time with the right message in our heart and the right attitude toward them. We will be seeing them through the eyes of love. According to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, I pray that love would abound in you yet more and more, overflowing into the area of knowledge and changing the very way you see and perceive people. So you will see and perceive people properly, and when you do, you will go forth with that message, with that ministry, with that. And sometimes it's to just be there for them. Sometimes it's to embrace them. Sometimes it can be to smile at them. Sometimes it can be the very body language that you let them know, I'm glad you're here. And God will use you, and people will be drawn to you. And there are going to be things that are going to come to you. The wealth of the nations is laid up for you and me. But we must maintain, and it's not for my personal use, and God will let me use it, some of it, you know, and I'm prosperous already, but I'm going to be even more prosperous. And as we go forth, He'll show me what to do with it. We won't misappropriate funds. We will use them for what God wants them used for. So, we see that as we go forth and we maintain this glow, it is an amazing, amazing thing. Now, you are already children of light. Our God is a consuming fire, but He is also light. It says in 1 John chapter 1, I think it's somewhere around verse 3 to 5, I think it's verse 3, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That means when you got born again, you became a person of light. Maintain the glow. Any of you ever seen a kerosene lamp, you know, that has the wick in it and has the globe on it? You realize, yeah, we have some too. You realize that if you don't trim the wick back, it will actually put a film on the inside of that globe to the degree that even though there's a light in it, you can't hardly see it because of the soot type of stuff that builds up on the inside of it. When I'm talking about maintaining the glow, what I'm talking about is you are already a person of light. Let me give you a couple verses on this. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." 1 Thessalonians 5:5, "You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." That's who you are already. And what we do in maintaining the glow and maintaining that flow is we keep the globe clean. You are a person of light. You are a fire person, whether you realize it or not. God is a consuming fire. And when he gave you life, it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, "They which are sanctified and he which sanctifies and they which are sanctified are all of one." Different translations say they are all of one source, all of one Father. What it means is we are united to Him, and His very nature is our nature. And what is His is ours, and what is ours is His. But the very nature of God is in me. And so, if He is a consuming fire, I am a person of fire. If He is a person of light, because He is, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, I am a child of light. I glow all the time. I need to keep that I need to maintain that glow. And if we'll maintain that glow, oh my, there are going to be some people that will circle you. They'll circle you. They're looking at you. They're watching you. And God is going to use you to speak into their life. He's going to use you to put things into their life. He's going to use you to do great and mighty things in their life. But we must maintain the glow. We cannot back off of that. And again, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 again. In verse 15, and then we'll read down from there to where we were at. Verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly means to walk rightly, accurately is another way to look at it. So what he says is, walk as God would have you to walk. Walk circumspectly. Walk uprightly. Walk in the way that God wants you to, not being like a fool, but being wise, redeeming the time. Making wise and sacred use of every moment and opportunity. It also says in Colossians, redeeming the time. It talks, and in that section of Scripture, I want to say it's in Colossians 4, but I could be wrong on the chapter. But he says redeeming the time for the... Here he says, "For the days are evil," but in Colossians 4, he says, or I think it's chapter 4, he makes the statement, walk in wisdom toward those that are without, in other words, outside the church, redeeming the time, making wise and sacred use of every moment and opportunity. So again, here we go, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit, constantly filled with the Spirit, maintaining the glow and the flow, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, one way that we can look at that is speaking to yourself. I speak to myself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart unto the Lord. I do that all the time. But when he says this here, he could be saying, speaking to yourselves, speaking to one another in the body of Christ. Now, that's real important because the encouragement that we get from one another, we cannot overstate how important that is. Let's go, and I'll probably wrap up here with Ephesians, but let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter, 3, I think it is. And verse 11 or 12, somewhere in that area. Verse 12, Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13 then says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So the body of Christ being the body of Christ, it talks about in the book of Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen the countenance of a friend. So when you are the body of Christ, you're going to sharpen one another. We exhort one another. We encourage one another, speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There will be times when I am just so excited about what God is doing, I just tell my wife about it. You know, I mean, I get into the Word of God. I get to where I'm thinking about Him, and I just have to share. Be that way with one another. Call somebody up. And I don't mean that you abuse that. But be the body of Christ to one another. Encourage, exhort, edify one another. Build one another up. Building ourselves up. You know, you can build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and that's wonderful. And we need to do that. That's one way we maintain the glow. But we also need this encouragement of one another. We cannot do away with that. There is no replacing that. It is what we call genuine spiritual fellowship, and you can't do away with it. God created us this way. So, let me go back again to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. Be constantly being filled. It's an everyday experience. Be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in hymns, psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You can do a lot of this on your own, but then be someone who encourages, exhorts, and edifies others. Be the body of Christ, as it talked about there in Hebrews chapter 3. Be that to one another. Be those iron sharpening iron friends. And let's maintain the glow. Let's clean the globe. Let's let the light shine. And as we do, we look up because our redemption is drawing nigh. Jesus is about ready to return. And the generation that we are, we're going to see things that ain't nobody else ever seen before. Doesn't mean that we're better than anybody else. It's the season that God fitted out with you and me. He just happened to put us in this season. And I rejoice that I'm part of the resurrection or the rapture generation. We're going to see many things happen. And it's going to be quite amazing. Father, we come to you and we rejoice in your presence. Oh, how good, how good, how good you are. We rejoice in your presence. How good, how good, how good.